Wow, this is a really nice place y'all have. It's a far cry from our Boy Scout hut in Ocala. I was just sitting here thinking, who needs to go to Toastmasters when you get invited to speak at Big Book meetings? It's all the prep you need. But I'm Nikki, I'm an alcoholic, and I have done this work as it's laid out in the Big Book with the help of a Big Book Step Study sponsor, a very loving God. Still got some more amends to make. I'm doing my darndest to live in 10 and 11 and 12. I love how you said that imperfectly, because that's definitely the case for me. Definitely depends on my willingness. Man, where to begin? I came from the typical dysfunctional family just like everybody else. You know, I remember being young and being kind of like a nervous kid, always feeling like I didn't fit in. I was very much a people pleaser, very much had a codependent relationship with my mom. I was a competitive gymnast that fed into that perfection, perfect 10 mentality. And I remember, because I was a gymnast, the injuries that would come with that, I remember getting hurt pretty badly a few times and the doctors prescribing me painkillers at a very young age. So at that time, at a very young age, I filed away that if you hurt or if something's wrong, all you gotta do is take something. Just pop a pill and everything feels better. I learned that at a very young age. Things get a little more twisted as I get older. I end up getting hurt so badly in gymnastics, I get told that, you know, I can't do it anymore, otherwise I'm going to be crippled for the rest of my life. So I was devastated. That was my dream. I was going to go on a college scholarship. I was going to do all that. So you take this already nervous kid who doesn't feel like they fit in and take the one thing that's keeping their focus, and then you fuel that with a doctor who's now giving them prescription pain pills every month, because that was the thing back then. Still is now, I guess. But very early, at 15 years old, I was hooked on opioids. It gets a little more twisted in my family dynamic. My mom was on painkillers also for having a brain abscess from medical malpractice. So like, it became this thing where instead of food being the reward, it was, oh, you did good at your track meet, here's some morphine. Like, I mean, it's just, I know it sounds really crazy, but that's the way I grew up, you know, so. It fueled this at a very young age that I need that reward. Like, okay, I've done this, so now give me the relief. I need that, like the Big Book talks about, I need that ease and comfort because I don't feel good in my own skin. By the time I was 17 years old, I was an IV drug user. And by the time I graduated high school, and I still graduated with honors, but I went from a 4.2 to a 3.6 just because I couldn't get it together. I was leading this double life. You know, I was partying on weekends with older people, but I'm still trying to hold it together, and that just made things worse. So I decided to do what we all do in here at one time or another. I thought a geographical change would cure it. So I decide I'm going to apply to college in Hawaii. So I decide that this is going to save me, right? So I get accepted into college at Hawaii, and I pack up and I go. You know, I don't know anybody, and I had... Like most alcoholics and other addicts, you know, we are tenacious. We have that, if I want something, I'm going to get it, you know. So I went out there, and that first week before school started, I mean, I kicked it cold turkey walking around that island, you know, thought that I was going to be okay and start this new life. But what happened is, while I was there, that no matter where I went, I was always there. I went wherever I went, you know. So I went there, and all of a sudden, guys would start talking to me, and I didn't know how to talk to guys. I'd feel uncomfortable, or I'd be in these situations and I'd feel the same way I felt when I was younger, that I felt less than or just really uncomfortable. So what happened is, I wasn't on pain pills anymore, but guess what? They drank a lot in college and I became an alcoholic. You know, I didn't know how to be around people, but I knew how to party. So, you know, I started drinking every night, and before you knew it, I didn't even cut it 6 months out there. And it's a shame, too, because that's a beautiful island, and I didn't take advantage of any of it because I was getting hammered. I was. You know, so slowly but surely, it ain't working. People from back home are calling me, so, okay, so what do? I fly back to Florida. And within a two-year period, I hit my bottom. I hit my bottom so horribly. Within a two-year period, I started getting arrested. And each time I would get arrested, I would say, okay, that's it. You know, not this time. I'll never do that again. And then I'd get arrested again and again. And I got arrested the last time for a really bad crime. I I was living with this guy. I was at bottom. I weighed 90 pounds, sleeping on a floor in an apartment, and decided he had taught me how to rob houses. And I decided, in my infinite wisdom of being loaded out of my mind, that I was going to go rob a house without him. But the thing about it is that I decided to do this on a Saturday morning. Who's not home on a Saturday morning at 9 o'clock in the morning? So I go to rob this house, you know, and I go around the back door and the guy catches me. The guy catches me and he actually beats me up pretty severely. I ended up fighting for my life, you know. And at the time, being the selfish, self-centered alcoholic addict was, look what he did to me. How dare he? You look at that today. If you come in my house today, I'm going to do the same thing to you because I've had to work for what I have today. But I couldn't see that back then. It was all about, oh, poor me. You know, victimization and self-pity. That was me. You know, so what I thought was the worst thing to ever happen to me actually was the probably one of the best things that ever could have happened to me. So as a result of that, I ended up going to prison. I went to prison. I did a plea deal. I went to prison for 5 years and had 2 years probation. So while you're incarcerated, it's pretty easy to see that your life is unmanageable. People are telling you what to do. It's not that hard to see. You know, so I knew I needed to do something different, and I got introduced into recovery while I was incarcerated. I started going to meetings. I took part in a modality program. So I started to, I like to call it as I had enough information to be dangerous for myself. You know, I knew that I had a problem, and I knew that if I wanted to stay sober, that I needed to stay involved in recovery. And amazing things happened. I call this my pink cloud area of recovery before Big Book. Amazing things started happening because I was trusting and relying on God. You know, I got involved in this horse program that the prison had offered. And I remember while I was in it and I was getting close to getting out, I'm like, well, what am I going to do? And I call this God saying this. Another girl said to me was, well, maybe what you're doing right now is what you're supposed to do when you get out. So I had a direction, I had a purpose, and I didn't know how it was going to work out, but I knew that's what I wanted to do. And I found out I had gotten accepted into a halfway house. There was a girl I was incarcerated with. Her parents owned a restaurant in town. I had a job before I even left prison. You know, like this was God just was showing up in all these crazy ways. I mean, I got out, went to my first AA meeting that night. Some guy gave me a bicycle. I now had a way to get to work. Like all these crazy things were happening. That was what I needed in the beginning. And so my life, it was really great. But what happened is, because I ended up in Big Book Step Study, I started getting a little crazy again. You know, the things I was doing, all the things that happened before I went to prison, my consequences were starting to show up, and I did not know how to deal. You know, and I did not call my sponsor as much as I should have at the time. You know, I wasn't taking advantage of the program, and my life was becoming unmanageable in sobriety, and I didn't even realize it. Like, I knew I was crazy, but I didn't know what was wrong. And I'd been away from a drink or a drug for a long time that I didn't want to do that, but now different things were showing up. I was starting to overeat. Or considering binging, purging, and doing other destructive things. You know, I was getting involved in a relationship, which I'm still in today, but I shouldn't have gotten involved in that early in sobriety. You know, so like what I didn't realize was, what I didn't realize was what unmanageability looked like in sobriety. You know, those bedevilments that we talk about in Big Book were showing up. I was having problems with personal relationships because I didn't know how to have a healthy relationship. You know, what was modeled to me was not healthy. You know, so I was doing all these things, manipulative and everything like that, and was not getting the desired result. Why aren't you proposing marriage to me? You know, why aren't you doing all these things? You know, so I remember my partner today, he was going to Big Book and he was going through the process. And he took me to my first Big Book meeting. It was in Gainesville. And there was a woman named Leah that was speaking. And I remember hearing her speak. And she was talking about having problems with food and things like that. And I was like, oh my God, that's what's wrong with me. They know what's wrong with me. You know, I was so relieved. But I didn't jump in right away. I came to Big Book and I sat and I listened for a year. You know, and I was still having issues, not that my partner knew, but I was having trust issues with my partner. I was convinced he was still talking to his ex, and I was this, that, and the other, and she was this fitness model, so then I had body issues, and I mean, I was a mess. So this is how God uses my defects of character for his will, right? So my partner sponsor was a woman, And I was trying to be manipulative. I'm like, okay, well, I can't ask her because I know she won't give me the dirt on the situation. Because that's what I wanted to do, right? So I'm like, I can't ask her. What's the next best thing? I'll ask her sponsee. Thank you. I'll ask her sponsee to help me. And you know what? She was the perfect woman for me. That's the craziest thing. God used my defects to actually lead me to the person that I needed to ask all along. It was amazing. It was truly amazing. And I was in enough pain, and I got to it. I got busy, man. I got busy, and it took me a little over a year to finish the process. I remember I started making my list, and I had like 100 and something names, and I called my sponsor, and she's like, yeah, that's not enough. And I'm like, well, I got two more I can add right now. I ended up having like 290 or something like that, you know, and then institutions and principals. And holy cow, you know, the patterns that showed up. And even when I got to those principals, I was amazed. I mean, those were those awarenesses of how I lived my whole life. I mean, still to this day, I have a hard time wearing white after Labor Day. I don't, you know, guys, I just do. Your opinion matters. Like, I live in Florida. Who cares? But it matters to me, right? So, it was things like that. Or if you want it done right, you need to do it yourself. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't believe how much those principles dictated my actions, my relationships, how it colored everything, and it just blew me away. And my fears inventory, you know, the big ones, confrontation, others' opinions, not being loved like they're good enough. I mean, but I pretty much could apply all of them on my worksheet to everything I had going on. And then the sex inventory, man. I thought that, you know, I was going to have an easy go with that sex inventory because my regular AA sponsor had made me go back and answer these three little questions. So I thought I was going to breeze right through it, but then when I had to answer 9 questions, and by the end of it, you're like, is it almost over? You know, so. But it really opened my eyes to, I mean, I was so guilty of my big dishonesty. I would sleep with somebody, so now you owe me because I slept with you. You know what I mean? Like, you're supposed to take care of me now. Why? You know, I mean, I would just silly things like that. The things that I would do. You know, and these patterns of behavior, you know, and when I did my fifth step with my sponsor, it was funny, I had finished the work, but then I had to leave town, and the choice was, okay, start reading your fifth step and then leave town or not, so I had to sit on it for 2 weeks, but it ended up working out the way it was supposed to, and, you know, she had me write down some of my patterns that she noticed, and I really am amazed at how aware and able she was, and that just shows you how God works through other people to be able to shine that flashlight for you, you know, and those patterns that I heard, you know, I still don't like being told what to do. I still think I know what you're supposed to do. You know, I still sometimes expect other people to take care of me, you know, and the biggest thing I think I took away is I see the world how I am, not how it really is. You know, so whatever I'm feeling or whatever I'm going through, I think you're doing the same thing, you know, and that's not true today. Big Book gave me a lot, too, when I came time to make amends. The first time I went through the steps in regular AA, I took care of those financial amends. But when I made those amends to my core family members that I needed to make, it was huge. And my biggest one was to my dad. I had to go up north, and he was very sick, and he was dying. And I hadn't seen him. I flew up to we drove up to Massachusetts, and I was there to go make those amends. And they were living in this tiny little apartment. Dean was with me. And I wasn't sure how I was going to do it, and it was great because it's like you said, God orchestrates it. I was sitting there, and I'm like, God, how am I going to make this amends? And my mom and my little brother walked out of the room. Dean got a phone call and walked out of the room, and I was like, this is it. And I looked at my dad, and I just said, Dad, I'm here to make amends. You know, I regret. And I started, and he said, Nikki, just stop. He goes, I forgave you a long time ago, and he just stood up and he gave me a hug, you know, and I just lost my dad last December, so that just shows you that it happened. I was able to do this work, and I was able to make it right before he passed, you know, and that was huge, and that was what I needed, and actually, because of my twisted relationship with my mom, at that time, I made that amends to my dad. I couldn't do it to my mom, and I had to keep praying for willingness. I mean, I would pray over and over again. I'm like, God, I'm not willing. You got to give this to me, you know, and when my dad passed, that actually is what gave me the willingness to do it. And I have a relationship with my mom today. No, we're not like this, you know, and I know that less time with my family is a good thing, and that's okay. You know, that's okay, but I can call them, and I can have a healthy relationship today. You know, I don't work steps 10 perfectly, but, you know, I'm not as willing to take as much pain as I used to, so I will put pen to paper quickly these days and get with my sponsor or get with Dean or somebody else in the program to help me. Step 11, you know, my relationship with God has changed today. It's kind of morphed from what it was to now, and I'm more open to read other things to help me get a better understanding of my higher power, whereas before I was pretty closed-minded, so that's really neat. And step 12, you know, that's where the promises have really come true for me today, is working with other women, where I don't have a feeling of self-pity. Like, I see how my experience is useful to others. I really do today by working with other women. I've never had one go all the way through yet. You know, I got a couple writing right now. I hope they stick with it, but this isn't for the faint of heart. I know that. I really do. And I'm going to read one thing from the big book that is true in my life, and I'll end with this, and it's in More About Alcoholism. Quite as important was the discovery that spiritual principles would solve all my problems. I have since been brought into a way of living infinitely more satisfying and, I hope, more useful than the life I lived before. My old manner of life was by no means a bad one, but I would not exchange its best moments for the worst I have now. I would not go back to it even if I could. And that is true in my life today because of Big Book. Thanks for letting me share. Thank you.